Who knows what may come next?
Well, it is fair to say that the excitement level in this studio has just about reached fever pitch. Well, for three of us anyway. Maybe for the other two, not quite so much at this stage. But it's a very warm welcome into Andrew Upton and Kate Blanchett this morning. Welcome to Triple J, guys.
Bonjour.
Hello.
It's taken us a long time to get you in. You know, we've been putting requests through for months.
That's and Robbie's
months.
Personal requests, I think.
It's a ploy.
It is.
Now, you just said as soon as this interview's over, you've got to go to rehearsals.
For my sins.
How many Hail Marys is that?
700,523.
Are they your rehearsals, or are you watching other people rehearse?
Well, I tend to like rehearsing by watching other people rehearse. I think it's what... No, it's for Streetcar. We've got another about 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, two or 3 weeks.
And then we're on at the Sydney Theatre.
Yeah.
But it's actually a great dynamic, you know, having this role with Andrew at the Sydney Theatre Company, because part of it is doing ourselves and then part is facilitating other people, and it's kind of that whole melting pot. That
I was going to ask, some people would consider those things sometimes mutually exclusive, the idea of being an actor or a writer and then going into... you know, arts administration or looking after other people and that kind of thing.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah. What's harder? What's been harder for you guys?
Well, for me, I've relished that going into that facilitation role. And I think it's also, I mean, it's the charter of the company is that it's run by an artist.
Is it?
Not a bureaucrat. So, yeah, right. I mean, whether that be a designer or a writer, you know, and has traditionally been either, you know, an actor or... the previous artistic director was an actor.
Robin Niven, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think that's really important because it means when you're having creative discussions with people, you understand the process.
Mm.
And so, I mean, that's been a big thing for us is how you develop new work. And
that said, I mean, Lindsay and I went and saw one of the plays that's on there this week, and a whole bunch of young actors and a young playwright as well who was behind it, Saturn's Return. But don't they get just a little bit scared when Kate Blanchett turns up to check out how the rehearsals are going? I mean, do you walk
especially when you wield that
scared.
Big stick and poke them with it when they're making mistakes?
You've heard about that.
Yes, yeah. I have.
Yes.
You get so you get scared.
I get scared. I'm terrified of myself.
the whole process is a bit scary, really.
Yeah, and I think for Tommy Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Andrew understands what it is to be a writer and have your work developed, and that work actually came from Wharf 2 last year. It had a small outing, and then we learnt from that experience. Tommy learnt from that experience, and then the production's grown from there.
But do you have to walk in and go, it's okay, relax? You know, do people get a little bit freaked out about having you walking in and watching them do their work?
Yes, I'm sure saying it's okay, relax will put everyone at ease. It's the only words
I'm
they
here.
Need to hear.
Well, I met the Queen once, and before she arrived, her 7,000 corgis arrived in front of her, and her house is so big that she always walks around with a handbag. So I think if I get myself a few dogs and carry
See,
my handbag.
Some people have rose petals. She treads on corgis if she goes.
She sends the corgis in to clear the room first.
Now, this role, of course, hasn't been without tumult. There have been, I think, probably overblown stories of feuds with people in the paper and all that kind of thing. Have there ever been days where you just thought, oh, bugger it, why did we do this? I mean, has it ever seemed that frustrating to you?
Look, of course. Yeah. We'd be lying if we weren't saying it's not. It's frustrating and it's quite exposing.
Yeah.
But that's part of the process. And I think, you know, the theatre company, the Sydney Theatre Company, is a broad enough church to accommodate many, many different types of artists of all generations. And, I mean, what's been really exciting for us is that, you know, our average ticket prices this year have actually gone down because we've been selling so many tickets to under 30s.
Great.
And I think there is a generational shift happening in theatre. That doesn't mean you jettison your theatrical heritage or ignore your history. But I think that, you know, we're engaging with artists who are interested in not staying in their own silos but sort of working across form. And
do you have to grow a pretty thick skin for it? I mean, a thicker one than what you've had as an actor?
I've got a pretty thick skin. I think we both.
Yeah, we're sort of covered in scabs now.
We didn't want to mention that, but, you know, it's a radio interview.
It's why it's radio.
Andrew Upton and Kate Blanchett, thick-skinned and covered in scabs this morning on Triple J Breakfast.
We're going to come back after a bit more music and have a bit more of a chat to them. You're on Triple J. Yes, and on Triple J we have some very special guests this morning. Andrew Upton and Kate Blanchett are in talking about, well, lots of different things. Their official title, Artistic Directors of the Sydney Theatre Company since January of last year. Also, husband and wife, I guess, is reasonably official. Too, but it's
legal.
Yeah,
I suppose.
is the state of Aussie theatre especially for young people. Is it good at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's very healthy, actually. There's a lot of... we're developing a couple of shows or a couple of relationships, really, with all with quite young, very young companies. And one from Perth called Thin Ice, which is sort of headed up by Matt Lutton, who's a director. Another one from Adelaide called The Border Project.
Which is very music-focused. And
yeah, they're quite driven by music.
And Suitcase Royale from Melbourne,
yeah,
which
great.
Is pretty lo-fi.
Very lo-fi. And so there's quite a lot of, without getting too theoretical about it, there's quite a lot of cross-form work going on where people are getting music in because it works or trying a bit of movement. Or with the Border Project, there's quite a lot of technology.
Are they having fun, Andrew?
They are having a lot of fun.
Because that to me seems like a pretty integral part of doing good things, is having a bit of fun.
Well, I think Friday night, we've got an opening on Friday night with a group from Belgium who's got a show called Once and For All, We're Going to Tell You Who We Are, So Shut Up and Listen. Which is...
Well, we saw the posters for that when we were walking through, yeah.
Did you read the poster?
Yeah.
I read the title, yeah.
I mean, that's 13 teenagers in a room, and that's an amazing show that was the hit of the Edinburgh Fridge. And
It's a little known fridge festival.
Yeah.
So do you guys have to be active in going to like the various fridge festivals around the year, around the world and stuff, to like find
flog our
this
white
stuff?
Goods?
Yes.
If we're not someone, there's a sort of core group of us in the company who get out to see as much as they can. Certainly in Australia, but also internationally. And we all get together and talk about the things that are going on.
So how do you choose stuff to bring to Australia or choose players?
Title length helps a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
The longer the better.
I mean, is it just gut feeling?
I think a lot of it's instinct. And with a company this size, you know, we have several different spaces, and you know, we're trying to tease all those apart. You have to sort of, we're trying to create a situation where we're not getting locked down, because while we're a subscription company, it's really important to us that we get out single tickets and we don't lock all our spaces up, so we can be available to stuff that in the short term. And that happened. We had a space, and we very fortunately were able to grab Complicité, because we had an opening.
That was amazing last year. That was
Disappearing Number.
It was supposed to be shown in a different country, then couldn't because of some natural disaster, I think. Was that what happened?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think
we turned to our benefit.
Of course,
other people's sorrow.
Exploitation.
Cashing in on crisis, I believe it was called. Yeah, that was an amazing show.
We've got Cate Blanchett and Andrew Upton in this morning. We're going to take a listen to a bit more music. Come back and have a bit more of a chat. I'd like to talk to you also about the concept of theatre and how it applies to film in a place like Australia as well, because I reckon that's reasonably interesting. We're going to come back and have a bit of a chat about that in just a moment.
And in the studio this morning, Cate Blanchett and Andrew Upton are in here. Now, can I just break away from this very important cultural talk of theatre and the great work that you're doing in Australian theatre, and to talk about the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Because you got a star there, Cate. Is that the one where you get your handprints in the...
No, I thought I did. Yeah. And I got a manicure and it was all for nothing. That's apparently Grauman's Chinese. Mm. But I'm kind of near Sylvester Stallone and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
aim up
high.
There.
Yeah. 2 degrees of separation.
Yes. Is there a dog near you as well? Lassie or Tintin?
I think there's one of the dogs. Between a dog
between
and Sylvester
Stallone. And Lassie.
I'm pleased.
Yeah.
I took it as
you've really made... I mean, you've had so many milestones in your career, but that really is something to harp about.
I know, I was quite pleased.
But I was thrilled. Yeah. I was. I thought it was amazing.
Do you have to... doing the Sydney Theatre Company stuff obviously takes a lot of time, and undoubtedly you've probably had to turn down a lot of film roles in the last...
That's the word I'm putting out there.
Yeah. Oh, I know, you're a terrible actor,
Sorry,
Cate.
I'm too busy.
Nobody really wants you in their films at all.
But I trained at NIDA, you know, to work in theatre, and my first year out I worked with, you know, and Andrew trained at the VCA in Melbourne. Mm. And it's, you know, the first year out I was working with Geoffrey Rush on a production of Oleanna, and I thought, well, it doesn't get much better than this. I didn't really have any ambitions to work in film, and I don't really see the two mediums as being mutually exclusive. And I mean, I suppose, been lucky enough to traverse between the two. Mm. And I think they do feed into one another in terms of performance.
For a lot of people who haven't trodden the boards, so to speak, who get into film, do you think sometimes having that little bit of extra experience about performing in front of an audience would actually help?
I definitely do. Yeah. I mean, you get so dislocated from your audience working in film. And the thing about theatre, which is utterly addictive, I think, as a performer and as an audience, is that it's live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're culpable, and if you don't see it that night, you miss it. I mean, and that's what we're really trying to work on.
You also, you tell the whole story, don't you? Every night you tell the whole story, whereas it seems to me from the outside, and obviously this is my writer's eye, they, you know, the film might take 8-10 weeks to shoot, but you never tell the whole story as the actor.
But there's that beautiful thing of honing a show as well. I mean, look at the Marx Brothers, who took each of their films on the road for years and years and just got the jokes sharper and sharper and sharper. And I think you lose that sense of, I mean, occasionally it plays that translate to.
So when they make the film of this breakfast show, it's going to be a little trouble. Can I just ask you, though, speaking of honing and practice and the like, going into working in a role where you're supervising other people, do you get out of practice of acting?
Line learning becomes, but I think that's age, unfortunately.
But you're young.
Age and sleep deprivation. I think having children has actually shifted my sense of what I think I need to do as part of a process. You become much more economical. And then doing this job, you become even more economical. You just have to be able to. I mean, Neil Armfield said it to me years ago. He said, it doesn't matter what homework you do at home, you just have to play on the floor. And so that's the thing, is you've got to be there in the moment when you're in the rehearsal room, and it has to happen between you and the other actors, no matter, you know, it doesn't happen in isolation.
So we're imagining that any future roles, small bursts of dialogue, not too many lines.
Yeah. Pre-record.
Voiceovers, yeah.
All right, if you are able to get yourself to Sydney for the Sydney Theatre Company, Tommy Murphy's Saturn's Return is on till August the 30th. And once and for all, we're going to tell you who we are, so shut up and listen is on.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Kate, that wasn't you. From August the 14th to August the 29th, which was a hit of the Edinburgh Fridge Festival last year, Kate Blanchett and Andrew Upton. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks for coming into Triple J.
Oh, thank you.
You can come back again, if you want to.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, if you'd like to, any stage.
We will.
promises. Bobby, Marika, the doctor. On Triple J.